I've prepared a short message this morning, and I promise you it's short. I'm just not sure if my delivery will be short, but I'm going to try. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and you don't need a stand. I read the lengthy supporting scripture for my message earlier, and we stood in honor of God's word, and that'll suffice this morning. Honor him always in your heart as we partake of his word. Philippians chapter 4. I'll give you a second to find it because it'll take me about that time to read the scripture text for today's message. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Dearly beloved, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The title of my message today is simply, My Dearly Beloved. I'm going to try and be short, because Mike has to do the memorial service. Lord help me, I'm not good at that. I would like to draw to your attention this morning. The Apostle Paul was so good at this, and I'd like to draw it to your attention this morning. The Apostle Paul was, well, I really think he had no equal in his writing, at expressing an affection and a genuine heartfelt love for those that were dear to him. He did it very well throughout his writing. And he expressed that his love for those who were dear to him, especially those in fellow believers, those in the body of Christ, he expressed that his love and affection for them created a longing in him for those that he loved. He longed for them whenever he was apart from them. In other words, even when he wasn't with them, whether he was writing to them from a distant place, or he was here, or he was there, preaching and teaching to other members of the body, those that he wasn't with, they were always on his mind. If not in the front of his mind, they were always in the back of his mind. And more importantly, they were so much on his mind, and his love and affection and longing for them was so much a part of his thought and being that he lifted them up daily in his prayers. And the Apostle Paul wrote this often, that I mention you always in my prayers. And that's how we're to be towards one another. I can speak for myself, just barely, and I can't speak for any of you. But I can tell you that you here as my fellow believers in Christ, you here as my fellow believers at St. Thomas, you are never far from my mind. If you're not in the forefront, I promise you, you are always, at least in the backward part of my mind. I have a longing for you and a love and a affection for you that will never go away. And that's what the Apostle Paul expressed so well in his writing. And I want to bring to your attention this morning, this Memorial Day weekend, that we are to have this kind of love and affection for one another. The Apostle Paul spoke of those that he loved and cared for and his fellow believers in Christ as being his joy and his crown. He held them, he elevated them to a very high place in his heart and mind. And if I can go about making some of you feel uncomfortable this morning because it's fun and I like it. And I'll start with Jed. He was first on my list. Jed, I love you, man. You're my joy and my crown. Right now he's thinking, you didn't have to say it out loud. We could have just shot guns. And I think of others. Robert, yeah. I know Robert's saying, I love you. You're my joy and crown. Scotty. And some of the most difficult times in my life, I turned to the Lord and all the wonderful songs that were written that are dear to my heart. And it's Scotty's voice that I hear singing those songs in my mind in many of the difficult times in my life. Scotty, I love you. You're my joy and crown. Who else can I make wiggle and squirm? Let's see. I have to pick on those I know will take it well. Merv and Kate. Gosh. Talk about joy and crown. Man, I just can't stop smiling when I see Merv and Kate and all them beautiful girls. And poor Levi. Hang in there, Levi. You'll be a man among men. Kate, Merv, your beautiful family, you're my joy and crown. All of you. I'll stop picking on you and making you feel uncomfortable. This is what the Apostle Paul expressed so well, and we are supposed to truly feel for one another, and not only feel it, we're to express this feeling of love and affection for one another, if not perhaps so boldly as I did, saying, I love you, man. You know, in every other way, and certainly in our thoughts and our prayers always when we're apart, we should long for one another and always have one another, if not in the forefront, at least in the back part of our minds. The scripture text, the supporting scripture text that we read from 1 John, I'm not going to reread it because I am pressed for time, but in 1 John, the apostle spoke of love creating in us an unbroken unity. An unbroken unity between us and with the Father, we and him, he and us, thus a oneness in him and with one another through him in love. And what was being expressed here as the apostle wrote of that unity that love creates is simply this, that love transcends, love covers and overcomes, it transcends any differences that might be between us. Obviously, we are all different people with different thoughts and different ideas, and sometimes we simply disagree. But love transcends any differences between us. In other words, we disagree lovingly and we disagree agreeably. We are not easily offended by one another, whereby our unity with one another is broken. But no matter our differences, no matter our issues with one another at times, or our differences or our altercations with one another, in the end, love remains. We still have a love and a care and an affection for one another. And in other words, Jed, when you and me have a fierce argument over which one of us can shoot better, obviously it would be me. When we're done, we still love and care for each other. Jed, you're still my joy and crown, and I'm still your joy and crown. That is what the Apostle John was expressing as far as how love creates a union between us and God the Father and one another. And it goes a little further than that even, as you read Philippians and Paul's writing. He speaks of his love and affection often towards fellow believers in Christ, and indeed that's important, and I tried to somehow express that to you in the words that I shared thus far, but it goes beyond that yet, because at the end of verse 1 in chapter 4, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, to that point in this verse, the Apostle Paul was indeed referring and expressing his love and affection for fellow believers. But then he goes beyond that, and he expresses this to those fellow believers that he loved so dearly. He expressed that we are to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And if you would just turn back a page to Philippians 2, as I read verses 1 through 5, I'll make my closing point and then, in fact, my closing statement. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we read that if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if any heartfelt mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So here the Apostle Paul is clearly expressing that our love and our affection towards others goes beyond, far beyond even the body of believers in Christ. In fact, if we are to have the same mind in us that was in Christ Jesus our Lord, we only need to look to Christ Jesus our Lord, the greatest example that we will ever have to look to, and see the love and the compassion that he had, not only for those that believed on him, but most importantly, he made it a point. It was the focus of his ministry the entire time that he ministered to human beings on this earth. No one ever before, and we are to have this same likeness of mind as Christ had. No one ever before him or since has ever had a love and an affection and a care and a passion and a concern for all humanity, not just those that believed on him, like Jesus Christ our Lord had. He made it a point to love the unlovable. He made it a point to seek out those that were scorned and looked down upon in society. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was the master at expressing love and affection. And the point that I am trying to make to you here this morning, I'll get to my closing statement on this Memorial Day weekend. The point I would like to make to you this morning simply is this. As we remember this Memorial Day, those in love who served and gave their lives for our country. And as we also remember those in our lives that we loved and those who were dear to us in life that have passed on before us from this life, let us remember as well, and this is one thing that death taught me so very well, let us remember as well as we're remembering those who were dear to us that have passed and are no longer with us. Let us remember the severe shortness of life. I love the pastor's analysis of life, and I use it many times, and I'm going to use it here again today. It truly is that short little hyphen between two dates in time. In other words, for myself, it is October 7, 1963, and then that short little dash between an unknown date and time. That's my life. And one thing that death of loved ones has taught me so severely and so well is that life is short. And not only is it short, it's precious. And let the shortness of life and the passing of loved ones that were dear to us as we go to their gravesides or at least remember them fondly at this time. Let it serve to remind us of the shortness of life, and let it serve to remind us. My scribbling's hard to read. Let it serve to remind us to hold those dear that we still have with us because life's short. And let it serve to remind us to express love to others often and proficiently because life in this world truly is short and every moment spent loving and expressing love towards others is indeed a precious moment in our lives. That is the message to you from our wonderful Lord today. My dearly beloved, I'll close in prayer and then Mike can come and do the memorial service. And I even remembered someone can fetch the children also. Kind Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you most of all, Lord, for our time together here today. And I want to thank you for these, my dearly beloved family in Christ. They're precious to me and we're to be precious to one another, and I hope I was able to express that today, and we'll be mindful of that this Memorial Day weekend, dear Lord, as we remember those that have passed on from this world that were dear to us, as well as those that have given their lives in service to our country, Lord. I just thank you for this time, Heavenly Father, and always, dear Lord, always, this is so important, Heavenly Father. Help us not to leave, dear Lord, this place the same way we came, but to be different, Heavenly Father, better somehow through the things that we shared and enjoyed together, dear Lord. Let your word lodge in our hearts, Heavenly Father, that it might be demonstrated in our lives so that as we go out and about into the world with a true love and a true compassion for all humanity around us, as Christ himself expressed, that they'll be able to look at us, Lord, and not see us at all, but see only you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.